Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 26 of Genesis, and tonight we're going to be starting with verse 26. Now, if you'll remember, right before that, we had just read about Isaac digging some wells and having some issues there, and he found a well and praised the Lord that the Lord had made room for him. And we read that in verse 23, and the Lord appeared to him and told him that he identified who he was, that he was the God of Abraham, your father, and told him to fear not, that he was with him, that he would bless him and multiply his seed for his servant, for the sake of his servant Abraham. And then he built an altar to the Lord. And in verse 26 it says, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to them, wherefore come you to me, seeing you hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with you. And we said, let there be now an oath between us, even between us and you, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will not do us harm, as we have not touched you, and as we have done unto you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now blessed of the Lord.
If you remember, Abimelech was the king there of Gerar, Philistine country. And because God had blessed Isaac so immensely, they had become real concerned and asked Isaac to leave the country. And now they're going back to Isaac, and Isaac's questioning him, why are you coming to me? You asked me to leave before. Now why are you coming here? And so they have a legitimate request that they had treated him good. They treated him fair, even though they'd ask him to leave. It's not that they treated him unfairly. It was a peaceful separation. And they said, we want you to make a covenant with us to where you'll treat us, our descendants, as well as we treated you. And so Isaac was in agreement with that and honored their request.
And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up early in the morning and swore to one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace.
So Isaac's a good host to them. He prepares what this is, a feast, an excellent meal for them, and then they spend the night. And the next morning, Abimelech and his party leave and go back to their place.
And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had dug, and said to him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day.
Now, if you remember, there had been contentions over wells and all that. And so the same day that Abimelech leaves, the servants come and tell Isaac, you know, we dug a well, we found water. And it's interesting what they call this well. They say it's Sheba, which means oath. Actually, if you look it up, it's to seven. In other words, the oath was seven times, okay? Mm-hmm. So when a person took an oath, they were sevening themselves. So they named it Sheba, and so then the city that's built there where that well is was called Beersheba, or the Well of Sevens. And the obviously the sevens is referring to the oath, okay? And all this you can look up in your Strong's Dictionary, your Greek Dictionary, and you check me out and see if we're telling you the truth.
And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite. and Beshemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and Rebekah.
This is a verse that for many years I had I'd thought about this verse differently than the way I think about it now. And so when you look at this, it says Esau was 40 years old when he took Judith, the daughter of Beerah, the Hittite. And we're talking about Canaanites now, right? And Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, as his wives. And Isaac and Rebekah were not pleased with Esau's marriage. Actually, this is not the verse I was thinking of. We'll see this unfold in the next chapter. And so what Esau has done, now this is before Jacob leaves. He's already married two women who were Canaanite. Esau, not Jacob. Esau has married two women who are Canaanite women. And you find that that's the grief to his parents. We'll explain that a little bit, okay? God has blessed Abraham. God's told Abraham that he's going to give him the land of Canaan. So all that land is going to become his. God is not wanting a mingled seed with the Jews and the Canaanites. As a matter of fact, seven nations God specifically named, and the Hittites being one of them, was to be utterly destroyed when they took the land. Not commingling in marriage, okay? And so that's why, when we get into the next chapter, we'll find that Isaac and Rebekah not wanting Jacob to do what Esau has done in marrying Canaanite women. Okay, that's just a little bit ahead, but that's all right.
Chapter 27 records the deception of Jacob, the blessing given by Isaac, the fury of Esau, and Rebekah's concern for Jacob's life. We'll read the first four verses together. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray you, your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.
So Isaac's old at this time, his vision's impaired to the point that he cannot see. And so he calls Esau, the older twin, and he said to him, don't know how much longer I have to live, so you take your weapons and you go hunting. And you get some game for me and you prepare meat for me the way you know that I like it. And bring it to me so I can eat. And then afterwards, I will bless you before I die. And so the story goes that he is going to bless Esau. That's the message. You go hunting, buy my food, I'll eat, then I'll bless you. Okay?
And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it.
So Rebekah was listening to Isaac when he spoke to Esau. And Esau did as his father requested, and he went to the field to hunt for the game that his father liked.
And Rebekah spoke unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau your brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless you before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command you. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, and that he may bless you before his death.
So after Esau leaves to obey his father's wish, Rebekah talks to Jacob and tells him what his father had said to Esau. And then she instructed Jacob to go get two kids from the flock, and she's going to prepare Isaac a delicious meal. And then Jacob is to take that meal to his father so his father can eat it. And then after the meal, then Isaac will bless Jacob. Now, why would Rebekah do something devious to talk her son into deceiving his father? And I believe it's because Rebekah knows what God told her during her pregnancy. When she went before God and said, "What's going on?" There was something going on in her womb. And God said, "There's two nations, and the older will serve the younger." Well, Rebekah knows that this blessing carries the blessing of Abraham. And so she is working to be certain that Jacob gets this blessing, because he's to carry the blessing of Abraham. Esau's going to serve him. She already knows that. God has told her that. And so she comes up with this plan. I'm not saying God told her to deceive, so don't read that into it. She just feels like she needs to help God out with all this. You ever been there where you feel like you need to help God out? And, you know, it creates problems, doesn't it, when you do that? So, Jacob obeys.
And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing."
And so Jacob knows that his father will recognize the difference, even though he can't see, he can't recognize by vision. He's going to know, because Esau, you remember when he was born, it says he was hairy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what Jacob is telling Rebekah. Listen, I'm smooth. I'm not a hairy person. Esau is a hairy person. Now, we're going to see that. I mean, it put a whole new meaning to hairy when you see what Rebekah does. I'm thinking, man, we don't know the half of what hairy was. Go ahead and read the
next one. And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be your curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob.
So Jacob's real concerned about getting cursed instead of getting blessed, but he obeys. And he goes and gets the two kids like his mom has told him to do. And then what she does is takes the skin of these, and I mean, you think about the goat, the hair on the goat. Puts it on his hands and puts it on his smooth of his neck. No, that puts a whole new meaning to her, right? Okay, so she's got this thing thawed out.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't stop there, but she gets Esau's clothes so that he will smell like Esau smells. You understand? I mean, this is a well thought out plan that she has here. And so Jacob and Rebecca work together to deceive Isaac, so Jacob gets the blessing. Okay?
It's interesting. There's no perfect family. You think about...
I heard that. All of them dysfunctional.
I mean, it started out, she has to say, you know, he's my brother. And
you
now...
You see the favoritism here. Isaac liked the outdoorsman, Esau. And Rebecca knew what God said concerning Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rebecca's favoring Jacob, Isaac's favoring Esau, so you have a little division there
mm-hmm.
in the home, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Verse 18. And he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done according as you badest or told me. Arise, I pray you, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me."
So now this puts Jacob in a precarious situation, okay? He's not just going to have a little hair on his hands, on his neck. Now he's going to lie outright.
Mm.
So when he takes the meal to Isaac, Isaac says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm your firstborn son, Esau." Now, that's just outright lying any way you want to look at it, isn't it? And he said, "And I've prepared this delicious meal that you requested me to prepare for you."
And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me."
So what's Jacob going in there for? The blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want you to eat this meal and then bless me. I mean, he's not bashful about saying that, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to eat the meal, then you're going to bless me. And Isaac said, "How did you find this game so quickly?" Well, here we go with another lie. Well, the Lord brought it to me. Okay? I think he went to the flock and got that, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray you, that I may feel you, my son, whether you be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am."
So Isaac told Jacob, come close. He wanted to feel him to determine if he was really Esau. And when he felt the hair, you understand? And he said, you know, the voice is Jacob's. But when he felt of him, he got deceived by the hair on Jacob's hands and thought he was Esau because he had hairy hands. So he ends up blessing Jacob, and he asked him, "Are you indeed Esau?" Here's another lie. I am. Okay?
Think about his eyes were dim, so he had to rely on, he was relying on Philip. Touch. And the voice, it makes me think about just a personal anecdote. There was a time when Kenzie and I looked so much alike that our parents, by looking at us, they couldn't tell us apart. But they could tell our voice apart. A lot of people can't today, but they could. That's how they would identify us, is by our voice. And so this makes sense to me. But he was relying on the touch. He didn't go with what he knew. Your senses can deceive you.
Now I want you to listen to the blessing.
And he said, this verse 25, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless you. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near, and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed.
So Isaac tells Jacob to come bring the food to him so he can eat. And then he pronounces the blessing over him. Jacob did as he was told. Isaac ate the food, drank the wine that was brought to him. Now listen to the blessing. Isaac smells the clothes, which remember are Esau's. And he says, the scent of my son is as the scent of a field that the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of corn and wine. Now listen to this. May people serve you, nations bow before you, and you be the authority over your brethren, and your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed is everyone who curses you, and blessed is he who blesses you. What if he would have said that over Esau?
Mm-hmm.
See, here again, in this society, we struggle with believing words. And if somebody would say that over you, well, yeah, you know, he said words of what? No. They believed what they were saying would come to pass. And so when you look, when Esau comes in and you look at Isaac's response to his word, even though he's been deceived and said this over the wrong person, who was actually the right person, even though he said this over the one who deceived him, he doesn't renege. Let's go and read.
And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken the venison and brought it to me? I have eaten of all before you came and blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed.
You see that? So, I mean, not long after Jacob leaves, Esau comes in with this meal, telling his father to eat. He said, who are you?
Mm.
I'm Esau, your firstborn. Well, who is it who came in before? And I blessed, to note this, and he will be blessed. The words that I spoke over him will come to pass. Wow, they're full of faith. He believes they'll come to pass. He doesn't try to renege and say, whoop, I take it back. What would people do today? People say, well, you know, I've got the right to take my word back. He deceived me, so I'm going to take it back. This is why we don't see a lot of faith going on, because people don't stay by the word and believe in the word. You ought to believe the things that come out of your mouth. I had the Lord to say to me years ago, I was just being lighthearted and picking with the pastor's daughter and just made some remark because she was always picking at me. And as soon as I said it, the Spirit of the Lord said, do you believe that? And I said, no. He said, don't say anything you don't believe. It will mess up your faith system, your belief system. It'll mess it up. So say what you believe. And I'm going to tell you that from that day forward, that made a real tremendous impression on me of what God thinks about our words and how we need to believe what we say. Isaac believed what he said, and it came to pass. You understand? We've got to learn to speak what we believe and not just say things to say things. What if we believed what we said? You know what would happen? Come to pass. All things are possible to those who believe. But we'll say, I was just picking. I didn't really mean that. What are you doing? You've got your spirits all balanced. It doesn't know what to believe and what not to believe. We've got to be people of absolute integrity, believing what we say and saying what we believe and meaning what we say. And parents are some of the worst people in the world, you know, for saying things and they don't back up their words. I remember an incident, this was many years ago. This daddy kept telling this son, you do that again, I'm going to take my belt off. You do that again, I'm going to take my belt off. You do that again, I'm going to take my belt off. I don't know how many times he said that. And I'm boiling on the inside, give me your belt, I'll take care of this problem. See, it's nothing but a threat. If you're not going to do it, don't say you're going to do it. I know this, if my daddy said, you do that one more time, I'm going to wear you out. You did it one more time and he would wear you out. You understand? And I always had a respect for him because I knew that I could believe what he said. If I ask him to do something and then he committed to it, I never questioned it. I knew he'd do it. You understand? People need to realize that, or we need to get to the point that people can see that in us, that they can believe our words because we believe our words. But how many people believe their words? I've had people to say things to me, and because of what the Lord said to me that day, I'll say, do you really believe that? Well, no. Well, why are you saying it if you don't believe it? Say what you believe. And if you don't believe it, then just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. I had one person say, well, what do you want me to do, lie? I said, no, I want you to just shut up. Just shut up. You're talking against yourself. Speak in agreement with God and believe what you're saying. Amen. There's a lot to the blessing. A lot to the blessing. You know, years ago, I was in Kenya. And I wasn't accustomed to all this. And people would come up to me and want me to bless them. And I'm thinking, who am I to try to bless somebody? And it wasn't until years later that I really got dealt with about that thing. They were sincere. They wanted me to say words over them that would be positive words input in their life. They would believe the words more than I would. And so I learned a valuable lesson in that. If somebody comes up to bless, say what you can believe, but by all means, bless them. We do have that power. Okay?
Verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." And he said, "Your brother came with subtlety, and has taken away your blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightfully named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times, and he took away my birthright. And behold, now he takes away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?"
I want you to think about this. This is a grown man. And he breaks out crying over words. Because Esau knows that what his daddy said is going to come to pass. "Well, don't you have a blessing for me? Say something over me. Bless me." And then Jacob's saying, what can I say more? I've already put him over everything. And it's going to happen. This has such an impact on Esau that he is plotting to murder his brother, not for stealing the birthright. We'll see that in a minute. But the blessing. Think about it. Go ahead and read these other verses.
Let me read. I'm on 37. And Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him your lord, and all his brethren I have given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept.
So Isaac blessed Esau. Now listen to this. "The fields of the earth will be where you live, not the cities. And under the dew that comes from above, you will live by the sword and serve your brother. When you become discontent as a transient, you'll break your brother's yoke from off your neck." Did you read the next verse?
I'm a little behind you.
You're behind me or in front of me? Catch up. Let's get where we're on the same page.
I'm gonna get on the same page. But before I do, I want y'all to make note of this because you've got a test question about this. Esau was more upset over losing his blessing than losing his birthright. You're going to want to remember Esau's name. Okay. Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob."
Now think about it. Esau sold the birthright. So Jacob bought it with suit. But Jacob stole the blessing. You understand? And so Esau is so infuriated with this that he says, "I'll wait till Daddy dies. But when Daddy dies, I'll kill Jacob." What's that over? The blessing. The words that's been spoken over them. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe what God says in His Word about you? See, so many people don't even believe what God says about them, let alone what somebody else says. But it's an amazing thing, we'll believe negative words easier than we believe positive words. Mm. We have to get our thinking right. We have to realize the power that God has vested in words. Solomon says it this way in the Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it eat the fruit of it. Words are powerful. That's why we need to make sure that we believe. If somebody says something like that over you, would you believe it? You're going to be successful. God's hand is on you. Do you know that's what words of knowledge and prophetic words, God is speaking blessing over you. Do you believe it? It'll do you well to believe it. Amen. Time's up here, so we'll have to stop and take a break. We'll pick back up with this after the break.